Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Let's get into it. Ephesians, I believe God wants to move in your life. Do you believe God wants to move in your life? I do. I believe that what you put into today is what you're going to get out of today. So you got to turn off all distractions, your floaty thoughts, girls, where you want to be after church. You know, if you're fasting and you're starving, you know what? Pray and move on. Okay, so God has good plans for your life. Do you believe God has good plans for your life? Because sometimes people don't believe that. And then how about this, that when God is speaking to you, he wants your attention. Yeah, God wants our attention. I don't like talking to my kids and they're not listening to me. I have one son and he thinks he's the maestro at getting away with things. Right, like he will start something like the dishes and then he slowly just disappears. And the rest of them are still doing the dishes. And I'm like, I had a brother named Luke who did the same thing. Get your butt back in there. And he's like, oh, man, you always catch me. And it's like, yeah, you don't have to go to the bathroom that much. You hang out in the bathroom a lot so that you don't have to do your laundry, your dishes. I don't think that we need to dodge God during this year. Let's not dodge what God is speaking to us, because I believe God is speaking something special to us. We have so much time, and we fill it with so much. What are you filling your days with? I want to ask you that question. What are you filling your time with? Is it more Jesus than it is maybe the Netflix show that you're, like, binge-watching? Is it more, like, serving in the house of God than it is serving your own needs? What is it? What is it? And I'm not here to bring condemnation and guilt. That's not what this is. I'm just asking a question. It's a question. It's good for us to evaluate and to determine where are we at. It's the beginning of the year. The question on the tip, what was your New Year's resolution? I was like, I stopped doing those at 46 years old. I'm 46 this year. We don't do those anymore. Because they're stupid. But the reality is I do have goals for myself that I would like to look forward and say, you know, I got to get better at this. I got to look at this. So let's evaluate. This is a time of evaluation. Sometimes, do you believe that we as a church and we as a people can take advantage of God's presence? Because we're so used to it. Because it's so normal. Because it's just something that we live with every day. In fact, we look at other people and we go, we don't know how they do that without God. Right? Because with God, we know the goodness. We know the grace. We know the mercy. We know his power we're walking in daily. And we can look to others that are going through tragedy and we see them drinking themselves to death. We see them, like, you know, getting into perversions and dark things because they're trying to fill the voids in their life. We don't even have that. But I wonder if, because we have the presence of God so much that we get complacent in it. We get very comfortable in it. When you're comfortable, you aren't productive. You're at peace and you're at rest, and that's good. But I do believe God is like, I need you to find the balance of being in my presence, but also being very aware of my presence. Always remaining in an awe of who I am in the presence of God. You see, it's God's desire to grab our attention this year. It's God's desire that he wants to realign us this year. It's God's desire that we long for the holiness of God in our lives, in our homes, in our friendships, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children. God's holiness has to become the forefront of our lives. What does that look like? He wants to stir us up. He wants to define us in a new way. He wants to bring you into new places. You go, Pastor Jess, you're so young. You're 46. I'm in my 70s. I'm already done life. You just don't know. No, I'm telling you right now, I'm not the one talking. I'm just a vessel, like it said. The Holy Spirit is talking right now. I am being used by the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And I believe as long as you have breath on this earth, that God wants to use you, that you are not just a throwaway, that your life isn't just over, that you're not insignificant. These things that you have told yourself, that you have allowed yourself to believe, they are lies, they are fiery darts from Satan, and Satan would love to get you to just get through and get by. But God is calling us to not get through and get by. God is calling us to find out what the new place that it is he needs us to step into is for the season of life that we're in, because God is never done with us. We had an opening question at the table, and it says, what is God looking for me? looking for in me when I come into the house of God? What is God looking for in me when I come into the house of God? You see, I have a family. I one does not live with me right now, but I still have two boys living with me and my husband and I, two dogs. There's a lot of movement always. There's always constant need. There's always middle of the night conversations. There's always, especially the one that doesn't live with me. I'm like, seriously right now? It's just a different season, girls. You don't sleep now. You don't sleep when they're adults either. So the most beauty of it is that when they come into my house, guess what happens? They know that there's some requirements for being in my house, right? It's my house. They don't pay for it. And I had this conversation with one of them the other day, and I said, listen to me. I am not doing your laundry, but it is piling up, and there's a smell coming out of that room. And you need to do your own laundry. And you don't need to put it in the laundry room hoping one of us will throw some of it in with their stuff. We know what you're doing. You can guess which one. The Dodger knows exactly how to get everybody to do his laundry. And I was like, if you want to live in this house, you abide by my rules, and these are the requirements for living in this house, right? What do I need from him? I need him to pull his weight. I need him to contribute to this family, right? Well, when you come to the house of God, you got to pull your weight. You got to contribute to this family. God assigns us churches. God assigns us families. God assigns us spiritual families. And all of us have a role and a part to play in the house. And sometimes we think, oh, well, what can that church do for me? And, oh, and then you're good at real judging. Like, ooh, they didn't say hi to me today. Nobody smiled at me today. Nobody did this. Oh, I didn't feel loved today. Will you pull in your weight? Are you making yourself, are you just always that person that's just taking from the house and leaving and never home? You're paying rent, but you ain't around. You see, I believe God wants us to look at ourselves and say, what am I bringing to the house of God? Ecclesiastes deals with this. Go with me to Ecclesiastes 5:1. We're going to read 1 through 7. Are you guys okay with that many scriptures? All right, hold on tight. Walk prudently when you go into the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Verse 2, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth, and therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity. A fool's voice is known in his many words. Have you ever met somebody who talks a lot, but they say nothing? I won't say politicians, but go ahead. Verse 4, that when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Verse 5, better not to vow than to vow and not pay. So what is your word worth? Verse 6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry or excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. Vanity, vanity. Boy, do we live in a world that likes to look at itself, because it's constantly looking at videos of how you should look, and you shouldn't have the crow's feet, and you shouldn't have the lines, and you shouldn't have this, and you shouldn't have that, and you're not pretty if. But what if we actually... We stopped the voices of what the world says who we are, and we start listening to the voice of who God has made us to be. Vanity, vanity. And then the last sentence, but fear God. We can easily come to church and not really be here, right? You like just slide in and you're like, oh, I'm doing my duty this week. You are doing nothing this week but hurting yourself. When you come into the house of God, this is holy ground. We can easily live our lives and we can easily operate off of our own desires and not find out what God's desires are. Because if we just don't care, we're apathetic. We can be apathetic Christians. We can be complacent Christians. I don't want to pastor a church of people that are doing nothing for God. I want to pastor a people group that know that God loves them and that they got to stir themselves up. And even when they don't feel it, because let me tell you something, this is not about our feeling. This is about us putting our flesh down and saying, no, I've got to get in because I have to get into the house of God where I know that my strength is, where I can plug in and I can get all that I need from the one from heaven, and that the kingdom of heaven gets deposited into my heart, gets deposited into my life. And all of a sudden I can see clearer and I can think clearer and my heart is full of joy again, and I no longer am consumed by my own issues, my own worries, my own frailties, my own insecurities, but all of a sudden I'm looking to the one who created me and I think, oh, wait a second. He thinks I'm beautiful. He sees me as good. He sees me as holy. He sees me as who he needs me to be. You see, but it's not until we get out of our own ideas. You walk into church and you're thinking about, oh, what you missed on that grocery list. What time you got to pick up your kids? What meeting do you have to be in next? And what are you going to say when you get there? I'm trying not to think about my dog. I got to go pick up my dog today from x-rays. My little Maxie, not the crazy Lucy, Maxie, the old man. He's getting x-rays. And I'm like trying not to think about it because I have to shut that down because this is our time to be in the presence of God. You have to shut down your thoughts. You have to shut down your mind because it will stray. It will go there. It will take you places you don't even want to go. There's a verse in the Bible that says, do not borrow tomorrow's troubles because tomorrow has enough worries of its own, Matthew 6:34. You see, God's hand is at work in your life, and he deserves that undivided attention that he needs from you because you're that important to him, because he actually does want to spend time with you, because the value of our relationship with the Holy Spirit has to be greater and higher than our value of our relationship with anybody else here on this earth. He has to be your first love. And so, as we come into church, what is it that God wants to see? Our words can be full of a lot of things, but I don't want my words to be my words. I want my words to be what God's word says about me. How do I do that? I got to get into the house of God. But if we really understood what all this means, God, his church, me as his daughter, how his house works, what he wants from his church here on this earth, if we took time to pause and remember and to respect him in his house, when we do these things, guess what happens? You get God results. You get God results. Because when we begin to care about what God cares about, and we begin to see things through God's eyes, we no longer are looking at ourselves and navel-gazing at our worries, our fears, our negative issues, but we're looking to God and going, okay, what do you need from me? What are you speaking to me today? So what we can learn is, when I come into the house of God, I need to, okay? And that's what we're going to, when I come into the house of God, I need to, number one, I need to come ready. I need to come ready. Ecclesiastes 5:1, walk prudently when you go into the house of God and draw near to hear rather than give sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. You are not a fool, church. You are not a fool, beautiful daughter. You are a daughter of the Most High God. So come prudently, come expectingly, come circumspectly, come reverently, come in awe, come in wonder of what God's going to do in the service that you're in. When you go to someone's house, there's an etiquette, right? Maybe you don't know this because I know we are in the IE, but let me help you out. When somebody invites you to their house, maybe over for dinner or something, it is etiquette to ask, can I bring anything? And if they say no, you say, okay, but you still go to the store and you buy a flower or you buy a plant and you're like, do I have to do that every time I go to my mom's house? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like if it's a special event or something that you're doing. And you bring something because it's a way of saying thank you for hosting me and inviting me to come into your home and into your space. Right? And then when you get there, you may be asked to take your shoes off at the door. It might be one of those houses. And so you better be ready to have cute socks on. Or maybe paint your toes if it's summertime. You see, you don't just go to somebody's house, but you have to prepare to go to somebody's house. If you were to show up late, I know we have the Hispanic culture in here. It's so funny. I have to tell you, we did a Christmas party, and Anna and her husband came late, and I was like, girl, this is a white people party. You are on time. We have to joke about our cultures because we're so different. But the reality is like, you're going, and it's an etiquette that they've invited you to their home. They have worked hard. Hopefully, they have cleaned their toilets for you. Hopefully. If you have people coming over, you need to clean your toilets before they come and after they leave, okay? Just FYI. And you need to take time to care that they cared to even invite you. God is inviting you into his house. Every time he opens the doors, you are walking into holy ground. You are walking into the goodness of God. You are walking into the presence of the Almighty. The temple of God is filling the room, and you are walking in. And what are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing? So how much more should we honor and respect the house of God than we do other people's homes? How much more should we bring when we bring a physical example of this? We walk in, but is your heart right? Is your mindset ready? Right? I have to shake myself. Sundays are long days for us as pastors. And I have to be like, get out of my head. Get into the presence of God. And I got to start praying for you guys while I'm on that front row. I'm looking and I'm watching. I'm guarding. I'm protecting. I'm making sure nobody's going to come and hurt you guys. You may not know that, but Pastor Jesse and up there just texted. I'm up there like, do you see that crazy person over there on the left to my security team? I'm telling the people in the back, hey, you spelled that word wrong. I'm telling the worship team, you did a great job today. Because I want to keep them full. I want them to know that I cherish them. That they come at 7 o'clock in the morning to come and feed you guys the word. You see, they prepare to come to the house of God. Do you prepare to come and get fed? To come and glean on what God has? God shows us some examples of this in Exodus 3:5. When he's talking to Moses, when Moses goes to the burning bush, he goes to this burning bush. It's the presence of God himself. And God says to him, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Another example, Joshua 5:15. When the commander of the Lord's army shows up to Joshua, and he says, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. You see, he's putting an emphasis on the presence of God. He's putting an emphasis on the goodness of God. I have a man of God by the name of Sam who comes and prays for you guys. I think he comes like 3 times a week. How often does Sam hear? 3 to 5 times a week he's in that sanctuary. And if you see Sam, you will not know he's there. And he will pop up on you. But Sam does not wear shoes in the sanctuary. He says, I do not put on shoes when I'm at this altar. And he lays prostrate, and he weeps out for you, and he weeps out for the nations, and he weeps out for the heart of God, and he prays whatever God is asking him to pray. You see, Sam is prepped and ready to go. I don't think we could do what we do without Sam. Are you ready for the prudence and the goodness of God? What does prudent mean? Prudence is a weird word, right? The Bible uses these words that we don't use anymore. And as I looked it up in the Hebrew, it's shamar. It means to hedge out, to guard, to protect, to attend, to be aware, to take heed of self, to keep mark of yourself, to look narrowly, to observe, to preserve, to regard, and wait and watch. That's a lot for one little word. That's what you're supposed to be doing when you walk into the house of God. You're on watch, you're on guard, you're ready to go. Because God wants to do something. God wants to show up in your life. God wants you to be watchful of what it is God wants to pour out on your spirit. God wants you to be ready to receive and not have any blockers or distractions, because Satan comes to bring distraction. He comes to bring chaos. He will come to bring confusion. He's a master liar. He's a father of lies. And so therefore, he will lie to you to tell you to keep you out. Have you ever just been at home and been like, not today? Because Satan is right there trying to get you not to get into the house of God so that you can't get your feeling. But yet in Psalms 119:29, I love this. When we put a presence and we put an emphasis on the house of God, this is what he does for us. Your marvelous words are living miracles. You need some living miracles and you get them in the house of God. No wonder I long to obey everything you say. Break open your word within me until your revelation light shines out of me. I believe that's what we're doing right now, that God's word is going to break over you. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. How many of you want to know the plans of heaven? Amen. I open my mouth and I inhale the word of God because I crave the revelation of your commandments. Wow. I inhale the revelation of your commandments. That means I've got to find out what God is saying, and I cannot do that if I'm absent-minded, if I'm everywhere else in my head, if I'm not even present. God cannot be fooled, and he says, don't bring that foolish offering to me. Your heart posture is known by God, and he will not give increase. This is the year of increase. He will not give increase in his goodness with a heart that is in foolishness. But a surrendered heart is a beautiful worship, a sweet fragrance, a beautiful incense to him. You see, when I personally have been in the house of God, and when my heart is right and when my posture is well, guess what happens? I start to hear from God. I start to get a revelation. God told me when I was a young girl and I was getting my life right, God, I was with God in the house of God. I was committed. And while I was in the house of God, I heard the Lord say, your husband is in Moreno Valley. I thought it was Satan. It's like, what? That is so weird. But I remember hearing that. And I remember, you know, like San Bernardino's not ghetto. And so I was like, oh, that's so ghetto. My husband always laughs at me. He's like, whatever, San Bernardino. And I meet Dan, and guess where Dan was from? Moval. And I was like, ooh, okay. This is like a sign. I get it. Okay, God, you're speaking. I had remembered that moment that I heard in the house of God. In the house of God, I got the call to serve San Bernardino. I was in church in Oklahoma. I was in church, and I was in the presence of God, and the Lord spoke to me and Dan at the same time. And I remember God saying, you will serve the people of San Bernardino with your life. I said, yes, sir. Now, he did not tell us senior pastor. We were just like, we'll just serve. We're good with whatever. So God has his own plans. He doesn't always give us everything. It was in the house of God that I didn't think I could get pregnant because I was a mess up. I made some poor choices. I had abortions, and they told me I wouldn't be able to have a baby, and Dan and I had been trying, and there was nothing happening. And I thought, well, this is just my lot to carry, and these were the consequences of my choices. And it was in the house of God around this table, and there was a mighty woman of God named Lori Gamp who sat at my table, and she said, pastor. I was a pastor then. Jessica. She said, we're going to pray and believe God right here. And we held hands that day, and I got pregnant that week because miracles happen in the house of God. See, the house of God is power release. The house of God is a safety net for you. A house of God is a ground of holiness. A house of God is a place of filling. A house of God is a place of restoration. The house of God is where God comes and meets with his people, and he equips you so you can go out into this world and be all that he has called you to be, so you can have that dunamis power working on your behalf to bring the kingdom of God into very dark places. The house of God is precious. And I don't want you to miss it. Let it be a worship, not a fool's worship like it's talking about in these verses, but let it be a sweet fragrance to God. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. That when you come into the house of God and you choose to line up with who Christ is in you, that you are a sweet incense, a sweet fragrance, a sweet aroma into God's heart. So come prudently to worship God. It's a sweet fragrance to him. Number two, when I come into the house of God, I need to, number two, I got to come to hear God. I got to come to hear God. Sometimes I don't even know if people think that way. It's like, I'm just coming because this is what I should do. I'm coming because my friends are there. I'm coming because that cute girl showed up. I'm coming because a cute boy showed up. I mean, we have all different reasons that we come to church. We have all different reasons we don't come to church. And yet, God is saying, you don't come to church for other things, but you come to church to hear from me. This is a God-ordained appointment for you and God. And so sometimes when we deny ourselves of coming and sitting into the house of God on holy ground in his presence with a company and a corporate anointing is flowing, because there's something called the corporate anointing. And it's when all the believers are coming together and there's a power that is released, there's a faith that's released, there's a goodness that's released. And no matter what demonic things are coming at you, that can be broken because you are now surrounded by faith-filled believers that are there to encourage you, that are there to build you up. And as we worship God and we get close to him, guess what happens? He begins to speak to you. And I've heard so many times people say, well, God doesn't talk to me the way he does you, Pastor Jess. And I just, you know, I'm almost sick of hearing it. Like, whatever. You need to find out how God talks to you. I've pressed in. I've actually cultivated myself to stop and listen. I had to work hard at hearing the voice of God. I've tested it. And I thought I failed at times. And then there were other times that I'm like, no, I know that's God. And now at 46 years old and all these years of serving God most of my life, I know the voice of God. And when it's not God, I know it's not God. And get behind me, Satan. You've got to take time to learn his voice. You've got to take time to know when he's dropping something in your heart, maybe in your word. And as you read the word of God, just a sentence or a phrase pops out in your heart. That's God speaking to you. When a pastor or a minister has spent time in the word and spent time in the presence of God on your behalf, stands in a pulpit and begins to bring the word of God to you, and something inside of you gets, maybe a little convicted. You're going, oh, that's not God. Maybe it is God, because God's been trying to tell you other ways, but this is how God's going to speak to you today. You see, God does things. He speaks to us. He's always speaking. Everything God does is intentional, and he's intentionally trying to get you to hear him. He does this through many ways. He does this through creative ways. He does this through just speaking to you. He does this through your inner man and where you think it's you talking to yourself. And have you ever asked that question? Was that me or was that God? God sounds like you, but you would never tell yourself that, nor come up with that on your own. And that was such a God idea and such a God plan that you're going, that was God. And the Spirit of God begins to speak to you. As you come into the house of God and you sit under worship, it begins to break off strongholds. It begins to strip away things. It begins to break through barriers that maybe have been built up. Walls are broken. Chains are broken. So come ready to hear. Ecclesiastes 2:3 says, do not be rash with your mouth. We like to talk a lot. And let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. Ooh, for God is in heaven and on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you come to the house of God, be ready to hear and listen, not to talk and give an opinion. We can't hear God if we are always talking. Girls, I love us, but we talk a lot. This is why they were saying that women couldn't speak in church. Did you know this? This is what this verse is even talking about when they say that women shouldn't be ministers. That's a bunch of hooey. They didn't understand the times. The wives were sitting on one side of the room in the synagogues, and the men were on the other side. And as the rabbi is talking, the wives are yelling at their husbands because they have to ask their husbands everything because they're under him. And so he's saying, would you stop talking in the middle of service? You see, when we began talking a lot, we aren't listening. I have a child, and I love her. She talks so much. And when she comes home, I'm like, dude, seriously? It never stops. And the boys will just disappear and like laugh at me and smile as they leave the room, all three of them, all three men. And I'm like there like, and she's like, Mom, are you even listening? And I'm like, how do I tell her no? Because I've been living with men. Men don't talk. How was your day? Good. Okay. Did you get your homework done? Yeah. You ask Chloe how her day is. Guess what happens? Well, she starts from the very beginning of the day. I ate this, then it made my stomach hurt, and then I had to go to the bathroom, and then I met so-and-so when I on my way to the cafe, and then we had this conversation, and can you believe this is what's happening? I'm like, oh my gosh. We gotta find our happy medium here. When we come to the house of God, we probably need to be more like the boys. Be like, God asks you a question, you give him the answer, but you're listening for what it is. You're listening and not using a lot of words that are going to be so distracting that you can't even hear God. So girls, listen and shut up. That's like, if you're gonna write a note, write that to yourself. Listen and shut up. And be ready for what God wants to do because he wants to speak to you. Come to hear. Don't hear yourself, but hear what God is saying. Many scriptures talk about this, and so I'm just going to whiz through these, okay? It's a Bible study, so you can handle it. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to the advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in your future." Proverbs 18:13, "If anyone gives an answer before he hears it, it is his own folly and shame." Proverbs 2:2, "Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding." Matthew 11:15, "He who has ears, let him hear." Do you have ears? That's what you bring to church. Proverbs 1:33, "But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." Ooh, that's a good one. Romans 10:17, "So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ," right? Proverbs 18:2, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Have you ever met those people? They don't really care what you're saying, they just want to talk. John 8:47, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." I want to be of God. So when he's speaking, I want to know what he's saying. I want him to be able to trust me with his word. I want him to be able to go, oh, she's ready, and she's listening, and now I can speak to her, and he's going to download a deposit of what it is I need for that season and that time. Listening is not just passive hearing. It's an active participation in an experience in which we genuinely pay attention to what God is saying. And listen to me, girls, what other people around you are saying. You come to church and you meet people, and there may be something that's said, and all of a sudden, God will give you a word for them. After the pastor, you say, "Hey, how's your day?" You see each other out in the foyer, or you see each other around the table. "How's your day?" And then they just say something, and your spirit man went, And because you just sat under the word and you heard what God had to say, God gives you a revelation of how to encourage them. God, you say something like, "Can I pray for you? Let's pray together. And let's get faith back into this confession that you're walking through." So here are some tips. You want some tips on how to be a good listener, okay? How to be a good listener with God and how to be a good listener with other people. And so believe me, I'm not saying these tips because I'm good at them. So if you're like, she stinks at this, you're probably right. Okay, ready? Number one, don't make the conversation about you. When people are talking, you say, "Yes, I know, I," and then you go into your story, they're telling you something about themselves. Don't let your gaze wander from God, and don't let your gaze wander when somebody's talking to you. Bring your eyes back to the moment. Stay focused on what God is saying to you. Validate the feelings of other people like this. "Yes, I see what you mean," and participate in what God is speaking to them. Participate it. This is a moment where you get to enjoy each other's conversation. When somebody's talking, don't interrupt. Okay, I stink at this. My husband last week was like, "Let's talk. You have interrupted me 3 times in the past 2 days," and I was like, "Rude." And I was like, "You have these long silent pauses, and I think you're done." And so then I'm like, I have to fill in when you're, I hate silence. It's stupid. And so, and he's like, I'm thinking about what to say next. I'm like, well, then let me fill it for you because you are slow. Like, and so we had to have these conversations like, and he was like, you're being rude. And I'm like, no, you're rude by making me think that I'm not partnering with you in the conversation. And he goes, what does that mean? I said, I'm helping you. I'm your helpmate. And he's like, no, it sounds like you're trying to just write me off and you're not. And I'm like, no, I'm helping you finish your sentence because you don't know what to say next. Listen, guys, reality is I probably wasn't listening because he was so slow. And so I had to, my brain works like, and I'm on to the next thing. I can move past you so fast. And if you're still talking about something I'm bored with, I'm like, moving on. So be careful not to interrupt when somebody is trying to express themselves, even if they're slow. Okay. Don't try to top the other person's story or joke. Have you ever done that? Like, what up, them? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had somebody in my life, and he would tell these stories. These stories were, like, crazy. Like, the stories were so nuts that I'm like, you're lying. I would literally tell, you're lying. There's no way that happened. And so then, like, you can just tell a normal story because they had a one-up you one, you know? Have you ever had those people in your life? Oh, yeah, I had a good truck like that. You hear men do it. They do it a lot. They peacock. I call it peacocking. And so try not to one-up each other, right? Where you're thinking about what you're going to say before they finish. Stop thinking and listen. In church, stop thinking and listen. Listen to what God's saying and then think about what he said later. The beauty of Christ is that we could do both at the same time because we're women and we are spaghetti. How about this? Don't criticize. Stop being so negative. Number 7, ask appropriate questions. Well, what happened then when somebody's talking to you, when God's talking to you? Well, what do you need from me, God? Okay, I see what you're saying. How do you want me to go about that, God? What is it you need me to do? Do you want me to call them this week? Lord, what is it? Give me a plan. Give me an action for what it is you're talking to me about. You see, you're participating with him. And last one, when you're listening, you can't argue. Don't argue with God. Now listen, I argue with God all the time. So I'm telling you, not because I'm good at it, but because I'm like, I will question him all the time. He will tell me to do things as Ecclesiastes 5. And I was like, seriously, was that me? I don't know if that was me. So you have to find out. Okay, you could ask questions of God, but don't argue with him. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He knows way more than you do. You don't need to argue with God. Okay? Be rash when you're talking to him. All right. Don't be rash, which is like crazy, okay? When I come to the house of God, number 3, I need to come with the fear of God. The fear of God. People hear the word fear and they're like, oh yeah, I need to be afraid because he's like a big bad man with a stick coming after me and he's going to spank me and he knows what I did the night before and I can't even walk into the house of God. Did you know that when you mess up the night before, the best place for you to be is in the house of God to come and get healed and restored and repent before God, and God will forgive you and God will restore you. He will fill you. He will equip you. You see, when you come to the house of God, the fear of God is not a shudder fear. Like a big bad man's coming to get you. But it's actually an awe and a reverence of God. My dad was my hero. And when dad would say to do something and I didn't do it, I felt like I disappointed him. I was afraid to disappoint him. I was afraid to disappoint my mom, right? Because I love my parents and I want them to be pleased. That's a healthy fear. That's actually not bad. I know the world tells you that's bad. It's not. God wants us to please those in charge of us, those that have given us life, those that have paid a price for our lives. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. So their opinion mattered in my life. God's opinion matters in my life. I'm in awe and I'm in reverence to who he is. I don't want to be displeasing to God. So when I come to church, I want to come with a healthy fear of who he is. I want to be in an awe of who he is. That maybe I can have my own opinion on things and I can think things should be a certain way. But you know what, God? I submit myself. I humble myself under what your plan is for these people. I submit myself and I humble myself under what your plan is for my life. I submit myself and I humble myself because you are God and God alone. That you are the one who created heavens and earth. You're the God of angel armies. And so, Lord, as I'm in awe of who you are, God, speak, God, and use your servant in a way that only you can. You see, when we come with a healthy fear of God, God responds to it. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 7, we're going to finish these verses out. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. This is why with communion, guys, we're saying do not take communion if you are not right with God, because it's a vow. When we marry people, those are covenant vows. They're holy. They're precious in the sight of God. It is between a man and a woman. You will not see Dan and I marrying anyone that is not a man or a woman, because this is a covenant proclamation. It is holy before God, and I have to answer to God, and I have a fear of God more than I do man. You see, these are vows. These are things that draw lines in the sand. These are moments and places that we say, God or myself. And he's saying, don't do that to me. Don't say you want to love me with one side of you and then go do your own thing on the other side. Verse 6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it is an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hands? How many times have we done our own thing and said, why didn't God show up? And we blame God for not doing things that we think God should do, but we didn't do our part. You see, verse 7, for in a multitude of dreams and many words, there's also vanity. Isn't that selfish of us to think that God is going to come to our level when God is calling us up to his level? It says, but fear God. Let's look at this verse backwards. The Lord was saying, just look at this verse backwards. He says, fear God. This is backwards. Fear God first. Don't sin with your words. If you say it, do it. That's what this verse, to sum it up, means. Have you ever had people in your life, you've given them an assignment, maybe you're somebody that you work with, or maybe somebody in your family, and you're like, hey, okay, I need you to bring this, this, and this, and I need you to do this and be here at this time. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they're just like, no call, no show. And they do it on their own time. I've had people that work for me and will be in meetings. We'll be in meeting, long meetings, and we make plans, detailed plans. And then they leave the room and they end up doing it their own way. And you're like, that's not what we talked about. But I did what you told me to. No, you did it your way, not what I asked of you. And God is saying that to us. He's saying, I need to know I can rely on you. And it is the fear of God that will keep you from not getting outside of God's perimeters in your life. It is the fear of God that will keep you in a protected place of understanding what the Holy of Holies is asking of us. And that instead of me trying to do it my own way and getting God results, I'm going to find out because of the fear of God what God's ways are so that I can get God results in my life. Those people that we can't rely on anymore, do you call them to help you out the next time around? No. In fact, I do believe that there are people that do it on purpose. We had a few people a long time ago, not this staff at all, totally old, second, long time ago regime. And we'd give them assignments for the big events when we had our big events, and they would just not show up. And after a while, guess what happened? We stopped giving them the job, and I think they liked the fact that we didn't give them the job. They was like, yeah, good, now they're going to leave me alone. And sometimes I think we do that to God. Well, maybe if I just don't do it, he won't bug me so much. He won't require so much of me. Then that's not a fear. You have no fear of God. You have no desire for what God desires. You have no heart to long for what it is God wants. God's going to ask you to do some hard things when you sit in church. God's going to ask you to get outside of yourself. God's going to require you to come up to his level and not him always down to yours. He will meet you in your pain, but he will always require you to grow out of the pain. He will always require you, and he will, guess what, equip you to do it. Because the fear of God brings us an understanding. The fear of God opens us up to a deposit from heaven that will change your life forever. See, we need to be people that God can rely on. Matthew 5:33 says, through 37, you have also heard that the ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must not carry out the vows that you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make vows. Don't make them. Don't make resolutions that you're not going to keep. Don't say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Ooh. Don't say by earth, because earth is his footstool. Whew. And don't say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the king, of the great king. Don't even say by my head, by your understanding. For you can't even turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Be straightforward with God. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. See, the words of truth in our life are sacred, guys. Truth is sacred in our lives, especially in a world where there's so many lies. Let the fear of God keep you from the lies. The fear of God will keep you from harm. The fear of God will keep you from foolishness. The fear of God will keep you from the fiery darts that Satan throws at you. The fear of God will protect you in your time of need. Speaking the truth of God is what he's asking of you. Don't promise things you can't keep up with. James 5:17 says, meanwhile, brothers and sisters, we must be patient. I love that. And filled with expectation. Are you expectant? Waiting for the appearing of the Lord. Oh, I got oil in my lamp. I'm ready, God. Think about the farmer who has patiently waited for the earth's harvest as it ripens because of the early and the latter rains. So you also keep your hopes high. God's telling you to keep your hopes high and be patient, for the presence of the Lord is drawing closer, church. Since each of you are a part of God's family, never complain and grumble about each other. Ooh, he doesn't like us to whine about each other. He wants us to love each other so that judgment will not come on you. For the true judge is near and very ready to appear. My brothers and sisters, take the prophets as your mentors. They have prophesied in the name of the Lord, and it brought them great suffering. Every single one of the disciples believed in everything that God had assigned them. They had a fear of God, and they gave their life so that you and I could be sitting here today reading this word and knowing the true goodness of what God has done. They have suffered. And you have heard that Job and all that he had went through, and we can now see that the Lord has ultimately treated him with wonderful kindness, revealing how tenderhearted he really is. And above all, we must be those people who never need to verify our speech as truthful by swearing by the heavens or swearing by the earth or any other oath. Don't make an oath with anything. Don't do it. But instead, we must be so full of integrity that our yes or our no is convincing enough that we do not stumble in hypocrisy. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's what God is asking us. God is asking us to honor him as respectful people of God because we fear him and we know where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. I have this little saying that if you want to snap a picture of it, it sums up this whole message. It says, as I come into the house of God, I am coming with a heart to receive, ready for what God has for me. I will have the ability to hear the powerful truth of his words, which will teach me and train me and edify my heart as I become a listener. I will not vow to God in foolish ways, not meaning what I commit to. But because I love him so deeply, I will follow through with my yes and my no. I will be a person that brings honor to God and his house. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. Walk prudently when you go into the house of God. Draw near and hear rather than to give sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth. Do not hurt or utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay for what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it is an error. And why should God be angry or excuse and destroy the works of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams and many words there is also vanity. But fear God, girls. When we come into the house of God, let's come ready. Let's come ready to hear from God and come in the fear of God. Did you get something from the word? Awesome. We're going to put some questions up on the board because this is what you're going to talk about next week when you come in the very beginning, okay? So I want you to think, oh, not next week, but the week after. I want you to think on this. Put it in your journal. Write yourself these questions. These are the questions I want you to think about. What ways do I need to change when coming into the house of God? Do I need to get up earlier and prepare my heart? Do I need to pray more before I even get to church? See, we showed you today that we switched things up, right? Did you notice that? You got to be together. You got to pray together, hopefully. Maybe you didn't, but we're going to get better at this. This is brand new for us. And then we go into worship. So what patterns do you need to do in your life so that you're prepared when you come into the house of God for God to speak to you when he is speaking? Time, prayer, and expectation. Do I need to listen more and talk less? For me, that's a yes. So I can truly hear the heart of God. Do I really come with the fear of the Lord? Ask yourself that question. And then do a study on the fear of God. Okay, so bring that to your tables next time you guys talk. The leaders will remind you of those questions. And for some of you in this room, you don't even know who Jesus is. You're here and you're thinking, well, this was wonderful, and I want that relationship with God. But you don't know him intimately and personally. And I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus, to know him intimately, to know him personally. Because he loved you. He died on a cross for you. He became that sacrificial lamb so that you can now, your sin no longer can separate you. But if you say yes to him and that you want him to be the Lord of your life and you believe that he is the one true God and you call on his name and you invite him to come live with you in life, guess what happens? You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your old life, your old sin, your old ways, you've tried to clean yourself up. You can't do it, girlfriend. You cannot do it without God. You come, and then he helps you walk through. He helps you change. He helps you get a new mindset. He helps you get new desires. He helps your heart heal because you were never created to be apart from him. But because Satan came, and he's a thief, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, we're born into sin. And until we have the moment where we say, yes, God, I need a relationship with you. I need you in my life. I need you to be God. I want to give you an opportunity today to say yes to God if you've never known him. He truly loves you. There's nothing you can do that will keep God's love from you. But you, remember we talked about that relationship. He's asking you to put your peace into. Because he wants to be in a relationship with you, just not a head knowledge, but a heart relationship with God. And so today, it is your opportunity to say, yes, I want to have a heart relationship with God. I want him to be in my life. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. I can't do this on my own. I need God. If you've been running from God instead of to God, maybe there was a season of your life that you served God diligently, and then you walked away. And the world consumed your heart and ideas and thoughts consumed your life. And you know they don't line up with God's word and you didn't know how to reconcile that. And you find yourself sitting in this room today. This is a divine appointment for you because God is calling you back to his heart. God is calling you back to the safety of the fear of God. He's calling you back to his presence. So if you've been running from God instead of to God, today I'm talking to you. It's time to make it right. And so this is how it's going to go. I'm going to one, two, three, and I'm going to bang my hand on the table like that, and you're going to raise your hand. You say, why do I got to raise my hand? Because the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, If you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. And so I will see your hand, and then we're going to pray right there in your seats. We're going to pray together. And you're going to invite Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life, to wash away your sin, because you could never do this on your own, but only through his blood and through his love and through his grace and his mercy will you be saved. And then when you pass away here on this earth, your soul and your spirit will go and live with God. Your flesh will go to the ground, but your spirit will go and live on in eternity with God. So today, do you need Jesus? Get ready on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hands if you want God and say, yes, I want to know Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.